Now, the words that Nate read to us are words which are beautiful. They are words which are filled with hope. Like back 100 years ago when I was just a little kid, some Sunday school teacher, God bless her, I don't know who she was, made me memorize those words. Okay, in my Father's house are many, we used to say mansions way back when I was a kid. Okay, those of you who remember it in the King James, it is in truth a mistranslation. In a house you don't have mansions, you have rooms, right? Okay, so in God's mansion there are many rooms. Now I just want you to understand, I don't care how you read it, because my room in God's house is as big as a mansion. Okay, and what's even better than that is he has prepared it just for me. Okay, it's mine. Okay, you getting this? You see, these are words of hope. They're words of hope to me. They're words of hope to you. They are words of hope which have spoken to every generation of Christians since Christ spoke them. These words bring hope to the souls of Christians now, and they will bring us hope until the day when Jesus returns. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare your place, I will come back to get you, that where I am, you may be also. They are precious words. They are words which bring us hope. But those precious words of hope were spoken into a difficult time. The disciples were gathered at the table with Jesus. Judas, the betrayer, had already left the room where they were gathered to go and betray Christ. The presence of evil was prevalent. The scripture says the darkness hung over the earth. And Jesus had told his disciples that the end of his earthly ministry was rapidly approaching. He had said to them, "I will be with you for only a little longer. Then I am going away, and where I am going, you cannot come now." Now, honestly, this was bad news, received badly by Jesus' disciples. See, they loved Jesus. They did not want Jesus to go away and leave them alone. And Jesus knew that his words troubled them. So he offered them comfort. Jesus said, see the smile? Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Boy. Ha! That is good news, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Easy, right? I mean, come on. Nothing ever disturbs us. We are so constant, so true, always calm and at peace. Nothing ever gets to us. There is no worry in our life. It's all just a tiptoe through the tulips. With Tiny Tim, if you remember who he was. Showed my age on that one, didn't I? Not so. No way. It is not easy for us to still our hearts in the midst of the storms which encompass us, even if to everybody else our storm is nothing more than a tempest in a teapot. Am I telling you the truth? See, the hardest thing for us to do is to calm our hearts. The hardest thing for us to do in the midst of all the stuff which life throws at us is to resolve to not be troubled. And it may help you to know that when Jesus spoke those words, he understood that about his disciples, and he understands that about us too. So he gave us the secret. See the grin? Okay. He gave us the secret to an untroubled heart. He said, believe in God, believe also in me. All you got to do to have an untroubled heart is believe. Now, in Greek, the word which is translated belief is the word pistis. It literally means to trust. In this case, Jesus tells us that our hearts can be calm if we trust the plan and purpose of God as it is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. All we have to do to have a non-troubled heart is trust Him. Yeah, it's true. But it's also a great dilemma. Because we are prone to trust what we see and what we feel, not what we believe. Our sight, our emotions are often more real to us than what we believe. So the worries and the problems and the stuff of life become our focus, and our hearts rage because we see them as reality, not what we believe. Now, I'll be really honest with you. I get caught up in this too, okay? Ask my wife. I am a terrible patient, okay? I can't stand even the thought of being sick, okay? I don't want to be sick, okay? So instead of focusing on the promise that I'm going to get well, you know what I'm focused on? All the cotton-picking tests the doctors want to do this week. Okay? And I go, boom, right down. I do. Okay? Because the stuff that we see and the feelings we have about the stuff we see become more real to us than the Scripture, more real than what we believe. The beautiful words of Jesus, which Nate read to us so well today, are all part of that. See, the disciples were upset because of the stuff they could see and the feelings they had about it. Their hearts raged because Jesus was going away from them and they could not stop it. So they were upset by the stuff that they could see and the feelings they had about it. And then Jesus pointed them to the reality. He said to them very calmly, number one, that yes, he was going away. But he told them, number two, that he was going away to prepare a place for them. And then he said, number three, that when the place was ready, he would come back to them. And number four, in the fullness of God's plan, he would take them home to the place he himself had prepared for them. Now catch it. He did not require them to do a thing. They didn't have to go get the lumber and help build the house. They didn't have to put down the carpet. They didn't have to paint the walls. They didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was believe. Trust Jesus to do it all. He told them that there was nothing for them to worry about. There was nothing they needed to do. Jesus had it all under control, all in his hands. They did not need to develop their own plan for their future. They didn't have to get all worked up about the stuff. They needed to do nothing but believe. Nothing but trust God. Simple truth is that trusting what we cannot see, but what we believe to be true over what we see, trusting what we know is true from the Word of God over what we feel in our souls, is about the hardest thing of all for us to do. Come on, be honest. Trusting God's plan is just hard for us, isn't it? Jesus made it clear when he said to them and to us, and you know the way where I'm going. Now, I love this part because I really like Thomas here. See, we want to cut Thomas all kinds of grace when we read this thing. And we want him to be very polite when he speaks to the Lord. But what happened is, okay, Thomas had it. Okay? I mean, Thomas is all wrapped up in what's going on. He is frustrated because Jesus has said he's going away and he can't come with him. And he is all wrapped up in it. And Jesus says, well, hey, you know where I'm going. You know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas burst out. Now, I admire this because I do it all the time. Okay, when I don't understand where God is taking me, I tend to tell him. Okay, my doctors too, by the way, hear it. Okay, all right, now here's the deal. Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can you expect us to know the way? See, Thomas's eyes were on the stuff. Jesus was going away. He could not know the way where Jesus was going. Thomas was all wrapped up in his emotions. He didn't like it at all. And his heart was anything but calm. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, buddy, cool it. I am the way. Our plans, our determination only lead us into more stuff. Happiness is not found there. The only way to an untroubled heart is to trust Jesus.